Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to the Joshua Ram podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Those of you who've listened before might notice an increase in sound quality. I've just got a bunch of new audio equipment, so hopefully it sounds a little bit better than it did in previous podcasts. I did the best I could, but now I'm trying to make it better for all of you guys. I'm very, very happy. I hope everyone else is. I got back from my surgeons today and found out that I don't need a fourth surgery, which I couldn't be happier about. I know I spoke on some of my previous podcasts about my injury and the subsequent surgeries I've had. To quickly go over, one was an arthroscopy, the first one. The second one was an ACL repair, a reconstruction. The third one was an osteotomy, so that I rearranged my femur, essentially cut it up and bolted it back together. And the fourth one was to be a full cartilage transplant, but I don't need that anymore. Not for the meantime, anyway. The surgeon told me that if I keep progressing how I am, which is very good by all accounts, I won't need it. At least not for the foreseeable future, which is good. I was worried that, you know, I've been doing very, very well with my fitness and my diet and things, and I've lost a lot of weight and I've got very fit. And these things, above and beyond the actual disruption it causes, they really affect your output. Obviously, you can't expend energy, you can't build muscle, it's hard. But, you know, looking up, I don't need it, which is great. I'm doing very well recovering from my third surgery. My surgeon's over the moon. My strength is coming back very, very quickly. By all accounts, the work I did with my coach Jay beforehand to strengthen my legs worked wonders, because my legs are pretty strong anyway. Now they're catching up much quicker, which is great. My recovery is so good that the surgeon wants to go on morning television. He was telling me that the surgery itself, the osteotomy, the distal femoral osteotomy, is a reasonably experimental surgery. There aren't many places that do it for the injury I've had. They'll do it, but they don't do it for the reasons that I've had it. And it works wonders. I mean, I was walking around without crutches. I think after the third or fourth week, I walked out of hospital on my crutches. And he's amazed. He took some video of me walking up and down and various things. I have been very diligent with my physio and very regimented. I've got this thing called a cryo cuff that pumps. You wrap a big old cuff around your leg and it pumps freezing water around it. I was lucky enough to get one of those and that's helped me a lot. But it does take a lot of diligence. I've got to put it on constantly, which is quite annoying. But all looking up, all things being what they are, it couldn't be any better. I'm just getting back to the gym, just doing bits and pieces, and it's great. Things couldn't be better. On top of that, if some of you have been paying attention to my Twitter, you'll see that I'm doing a year-long fundraising event for what I think is a very worthy cause, Mind, a mental health charity. I know a lot of people out there, if you believe the statistics, are affected by mental health, an awful lot of people. It's something that it's hard to diagnose and it's hard to see. So a lot of people don't take it very seriously. It's going to sound very preachy coming from me. It's not meant to. A lot of people don't take it seriously because they can't see it. And fine, that's fine. I understand that. If people in your family have cancer, you can't be worried about other people with what you'd call mental health issues. And for the general public, it's a matter of education, not a matter of understanding. They don't see the extent that mental illness can go to. I've suffered with quite severe mental illnesses in my time. I don't think you're ever totally out of it, but you can come out of it to a point where you're functional. It goes beyond being down or being depressed or being anxious. It goes far beyond that. So I'm trying to raise money for Mind. They're a great charity. I've dealt with them in the past. I've raised money for them in the past. I did want to raise money for Shelter as well. But I use Just Giving, and you can't split charity, so I'm going to have to do something else for Shelter later in the year, or next year maybe. The charity thing I'm doing, the event, the fundraising, will be, it's a year-long activity. A popular men's health magazine, published a series of 10 milestones you've got to hit in order to be considered fit, and I'm going to try and hit all 10 of those this year. I've improved much over the past year or so, but I'm far, far from being able to do that. I think one of the ones I'll be closest to is the 40 push-ups in one go. I tried that today and I got 25, so I'm not far off. I think with a bit more work, that'll be the first one I come to. But then the other ones are things like bench 1.5 times your own body weight. I just hit bench 1 times your body weight, so I think I can probably do that. Weirdly, I think the leg press one, 2.5, I think it's 2.5 or 2.25 times your own body weight. I'll be able to do that regardless of my injury. The initial strength isn't the issue, it's the endurance or the range of motion you're going into, the twisting motion as opposed to the piston-like motion. That's where the issue comes in. So things like running will be an issue, but there's two running challenges. Swimming may be a bit of an issue, but there's a swimming challenge. I'm feeling good about it. It's something that over the course of the year it'll benefit me as well. It would be silly to say it's 100% altruistic, because blatantly not. I'm going to get an awful lot out of it, but it's a great charity. They do great work. I've had two donations already, equaling £80. Marvelous. I couldn't be happier. Thank you very much, Louise and Kay, if you're listening. This smashes my previous record. When I was in uni, I did a 7-day fast. Foolish, yes. But I was trying to do something that people would sit up and take notice for. And I raised a total of £60. I would have paid £60 to be able to eat for the week. But that is what it is. I've already raised more than that now, and my target is £1,000, which I'm very hopeful for over the course of the year. I'll quickly run down what they are. Find the list. Here we go. The first one, bench 1.5 times your own body weight. I should be able to do that. Run 1.5 miles in 10 minutes. I've never been a great runner, well, not since I played basketball, but I think I could probably do that. Dunk a basketball is one of them. They say you've got to have I think it's a 24-inch vertical leap, which roughly puts me around dunking a basketball, so I thought I'll do that. Leg press 2.25 times your own body weight. Again, I think I should be able to roughly get to that, but that is a lot of weight. I think by that point I'll have come down to about 240, £230. So coming up for £500 or just over £500 is a lot. Swim 700 yards in 12 minutes. I think I could probably do that, but again, we'll see. Do 40 push-ups. I did 25 the other day. No problem with that. The waist to hip ratio, that's going to be the biggest one, I think, in terms of hard work, being diligent with my diet. I was speaking to someone about this the other day. I'll come on to this later in the podcast. So that's going to take diet as well as just getting fit. I've got to do a lot of core work and obviously shrink my waist in, but the work to shed the pounds and shrink my stomach in will be, I think, the longest term challenge. Run 300 yards in less than a minute. I think that'll just be a case of digging deep kind of pushing through. Flexibility, stretch your fingertips 15 inches past your toes. I could probably do that. I think I can do 3, 4, 5 inches now. I'm pretty flexible for my size. And toss a basketball 75 feet whilst kneeling. I think I could probably do that now as well, but given the state of my knee, I can't kneel. So that's it. I think that one of the other things I'd like to do is see other people get involved with this. This isn't just me raising money. I'd like to see other people maybe taking this challenge and doing it and raising money amongst their own peer group. I think it'd be great. It's a good challenge, and it's a year-long challenge, and it's ready-made. It's there for people to pick up and use as they wish. So if you feel like donating, the link will be on my Twitter page. It's always going to be on my Twitter page, or it's justgiving.com/j/w, justgiving.com/j-w, and that's where you'll see my page and the list of all the things I'm doing. I touched upon it briefly, and I was speaking to people on my Twitter timeline last week about fat shaming. Now, I'll be honest, I've recorded this a few times, and I've erased them every time because I'm trying to say this the best way. Fat shaming is essentially, like the name suggests, it's shaming overweight people. The intent can differ from person to person. Some people do it from a good place, some people do it from a bad place. And I think that's where the issue lies. I don't think all criticism of someone's lifestyle should fall under the banner of fat shaming. It's not fair. It's not fair to anyone. If person A is overweight and they're happy, let them be happy. But I think the issue comes in when promotion of that lifestyle leads to other people getting that way, and person A, the heavy, happy person, wasn't forthcoming with the risks, or weren't honest with their own health. For example, I've got friends who love being big. I'm fine. I couldn't be happier for them. If you're at a place in your life where you're at peace and you're content, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But they've got the precursors to some very, very serious illnesses. Now, I think there comes a certain responsibility on everybody, regardless of what it is that's putting your health at risk, to be forthcoming. If people can't emulate what you're doing, it's not fair to just give them the good side of it. If you're happy with yourself, beautiful. But only you know whether you're at risk for that. For example, I used to love kickboxing, loved it. However, I was sacrificing my own health to do it. It would come with the occasional broken rib or concussion. Or when I was doing MMA, I'd get choked out every 6 weeks, or I'd get knocked out once every couple of months, or something like that. So would it be fair for me then to say, oh, it's awesome, and leave it at that? No, I don't think it would be fair. And only the individual knows in and of themselves whether they're being honest. If promotion of this lifestyle is genuine, but you know yourself that you're not well because of it, I think that's dishonest. I really, really do. But I don't think that's fat shaming. I think that's criticism. And there comes this massive wave of PC police recently, who you can't be critical of anything anybody does. But I don't understand why. Basic honesty and criticism is the least we owe one another. I think one of the major differences is between abuse and criticism, or abuse and observation, really, is who it's aimed at. If you're aiming it at the legislative level, or the government level, or even the company level, and not the individual level, why is that wrong? Why is it wrong to do that? If you're tweeting at someone, you're fat, then that's wrong. I really think so. But I don't get why criticism of any kind should be shaming. If there's an off aspect of any sect of society, gender, sex, education, military, diet, exercise, religion, any of it, if there's something we don't understand, or there's something we disagree with, why are we not allowed to dialogue with this? Why are we not allowed to converse with people? Why should it be shut down and all open dialogue be just removed from the cause? It's not fair, and it's wrong. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. If I've got friends who are very, very devout Christians, and we'll debate for hours on Christianity, absolutely hours, and they're fine with it. It's healthy. They've seen some of my points and gone, oh, I didn't think of it that way, and vice versa. So why is it because some people are happy with that? A lot of people are happy with religion. Why is it when some people are happy with something, you can't criticize it? I think that is ridiculous, and it's not fair to the individual. As I said, I think we owe each other basic honesty. And to get shut down for criticizing something is nonsense, absolute nonsense. However, I'm sure there are people who will disagree with this, all of what I've said about this, and I genuinely, openly offer you to debate with me. I have no ill feelings, I have no preciousness about this. I won't hold any ill feelings towards anyone that disagrees. Because let's not forget that disagreement and debate leads to progress. Do you know what I'm saying? If one person is the auteur of all the ideas, then that's not democracy, is it? That's tyranny. Anyway, I've gone on for a little bit longer than I thought I would. Next time, I promise to keep it more upbeat. I want to do a full session on tattoos next time. I'm hoping to start the interview soon. I've got a few lined up. For those of you who are interested, I've written a guest blog on a buddy of mine's website, the guy with the owl tattoo. He's on my Twitter. I tweet him a lot. I'm going to have him on soon, hopefully. I'm going to be on his blog. So everyone go and check that out. It's really good. It's really interesting. If you're into tattoos, it's really forthright. He has interviews with lots of different people on there. So if you're into tattoos and if you want to know more about tattoos other than just the picture, go to there. It's really cool. Thank you very much for listening. I love doing these, so I hope you tune in again. Take care.